unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, they're thriving. They're thriving. He continues saying, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created. There it is again. St. John said it first. That are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And Jesus, in having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by the wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now that goes for all of us who believe on him. Then he says this, if you continue in the faith, ground and settle, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the affections of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Now, what he's saying about them is absolutely, positively true. Now, watch this. Verse 26. Even the mystery which has been hid from the ages and from the generations, but now is made manifest to the saints. This is good. He's revealing something. To whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Now, the devil's he constructed a plan to derail them, get them out of the glories that they're walking in, and back into the worldly realm. Now, look at verse 2, chapter 2. They are thriving in Christ. They're learning and growing, and they're becoming the perfect will of God in Christ Jesus. This is the first chapter of Colossians. He spelled it out every which way he could. Now, verse 2 comes along and says, for I wish that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance, understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of his wisdom and knowledge. Now watch this. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now watch this. Here's the warning. He says, beware, verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men and the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. The devil's trying to pull you away through cold religion, philosophies and vain deceit, traditions, to get you back in a realm where the devil is. Now watch this, verse 9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Christ. See, the goal of the world and the devil, now verse 8 again, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. Christ is always the target of the enemy. He's trying to get us departed from Christ. Because in Christ is, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead body. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You don't need the world. You don't need the sin of the world. You don't need the reputation for the world. You don't need anything of the world. You don't need them. You don't need their approval. You don't need anything from them. You're complete in Christ. You don't need their degrees. You know, if you're complete in Christ, you don't need all what the world has to offer. We go to college, we get these degrees, and some people will hire you, or you'll have the authority to build a bridge if you've been through all the engineering schools, and you know, if you've been through engineering, you know, and you have a degree in it. Now, well, yeah, they'll listen to you if you want to build a bridge. But you're complete in him. You're complete in Jesus. You can't do brain surgery unless you got documents. But you're still complete in Jesus. You can still do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But if God calls you to represent him and do anything for him, you can do it. With or without the help of people in this world. You're completing him. You don't need them. They need you more than you need them. Much more than you need them. They need you. They need you to be the light of the world. But some places, you know, the enemy thinks he's so smart. If you don't compromise and dance to our music, you can't be a scientist. Your books, you know, if you become a scientist and you believe in God, I heard a scientist tell me, you'll become excommunicated. You know, they'll talk against your books. You won't be able to sell books. You know, you won't be recognized by our community, so to speak. And they're wrong. They're under an agenda, see. But there are people breaking through those. They're learning things about creation, and they're acknowledging God. More and more scientists are doing this. See, God got people as bold that don't dance to the devil's music. You don't have to, some churches you'll never preach in unless you've been through their school and teach it their way. You got to dance to their music. So sometimes people fear others. And the enemy can control you through fear. But it's time now to look to Jesus. God want to be the head. He's the head. We're not the head. We make a lousy head. If we're connected to the head, we can do all things. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. That's what I call the forgotten scripture. Now, it's not forgotten by everybody. God has raised up people that don't do anything without God's approval, without his direction. And then there are those who tried to do it their way and it didn't work right. And their ministry will never work right. They have to do things that they can operate in the glory that they did walk in. And they can do some good. They can get somebody saved. But they can't go. They can't carry people to the next glory because they won't go themselves. See, we get our marching orders from Jesus, from the Holy Spirit. We don't do things. We should never attempt to just do one of our good ideas. We need to do what we need to spend more time doing it, doing what God revealed to us to do. What is, if the Holy Spirit called you to the ministry, he got something to say that he won't say it. And you, and your anointing, you're able to do it God's way. No matter how impossible it is, you have that anointing. You have everything you need to do it God's way. And if you do it God's way and you trust him, you'll continue the process of that anointing. See, every anointing has a track, a process. It will usher you into greater thoughts. You're being able to go to greater glories. But if you allow compromised, cold religion in your doctrine, you're going to stop. God can't sanction you beyond that. He can't use falseness. He can't use a lie and mix it with the truth. You got to stay pure. You got to stay pure in your heart, and you got to do what he said. Now let's go back to Colossians chapter 2. He said, "In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." First he said, verse 10 again, "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the body the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." See, in Colossians, they don't get circumcised. They're not Jewish. But they are uncircumcised in the heart. And that's what God wanted all along. See, they're uncircumcised in the flesh, but they're circumcised in the heart. Now watch verse 14. "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, which was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross." These are the ceremonial laws that the Jews was trying to impose on people that were uncircumcised in the heart already. They didn't need these symbols. They had Jesus. They didn't need these road signs, such as circumcision and feast day observances and all these things. What they eat, what they don't eat. You know, they're trying to impose this stuff on them, and they already got Jesus. See, the enemy's trying to distract them and get them back into this fallen world so that he can damage their life. As long as they stay connected to Christ and they're taking orders from the head, they're completing him. They don't need this foolishness. That once was symbols that pointed to Christ. When Christ came, that stuff was unnecessary. When you got, they were there to help you recognize Jesus when he came, and it didn't work for people that's hard-hearted. It only worked for people who operated in the love of God. He said, "And you being dead in your sins," they're not sinning. They were not sinning in Colossians. In Colossae, they were not sin. "You being dead in your sin and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us." See, Paul was Jewish. They were against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Continuing, verse 15, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Then he said this, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or which is food, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." Now, this is a seducing spirits made it. They used the things that Moses wrote to lure them out of the safety net of Jesus into the contrary works of darkness. Because if these things make you righteous, worshiping angels, then, you know, even the Sabbath, observing Sabbath days, that don't make you righteous. Holy days don't make you righteous. What you eat and drink can't make you righteous. But if you look into that for righteousness, you miss the point. And you also turn your back on Jesus, who washed you in his blood on that cross. See, you can't have both. But if you're doing these rituals to be righteous, you're back in the world. Now, in modern times, the enemy try to get people in versions of sin. Lust, greed, any kind of any one of those abominations, if you start yielding to it, it will harden your heart, and he knows it. And then you won't choose the things of God anymore. And you'll become imperfect. You'll become like the world. And then he'll leave you alone and let you fall into a slumber comfort. But when it's time for you to go to the next glory, you won't have appetite for it. And when it's time for you to follow God into the next glory, you'll try to stay comfortable. What you know is comfort. That's the problem. You got to take your eyes off this world and do it God's way. He said, look at this a little closer. He said, verse 18 again, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary and humility and worshiping of angels. He's trying to seduce people, lure them in with something that they'll go for. Intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not beholding, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment minister, and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. They're not doing the things that made them strong, they're doing the things that weaken them. Then he said this, verse 20, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to man-made ordinances or demonic ordinances or contrary ordinances? But it reads, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Then he said this, a commandment, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. The enemy is trying to get people that are operating in perfection back into imperfection. He's trying to pull you out of the right way into the wrong way. And this, it has a religious face. Verse 23, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship, in an humility, and neglecting of the body, but not in any honor, but only to the satisfying of the flesh. And that's where, if you follow this path, you're going to become ineffective. And see, you got to, as a man of God, especially if God has promoted you and you influence millions of people every day. Some ministers, they influence millions and hundreds of thousands of people every day all around the world. The enemy is trying to figure out a way to mess that up. So we need to be praying for the people that God has promoted to television, radio, people of influence. We need to pray for them that they stay in the path, that they stay connected to the head. When Nebuchadnezzar became king, God gave him all the kingdoms, just like Jeremiah prophesied. When he looked out at the crowd, the enemy tempted him with fear. And his advisor said, you need to make a statue and make a one world religion so that they'll stop thinking about where they came from. They still trying to, the people that did voodoo are still trying to do voodoo. The people from Israel are still trying to serve the God of Israel. The people, the Canaanites are still trying to serve their Canaanite gods. You need to make a statue and then they'll worship it. And then he tried to put fear on the people. He tried to tempt them to fear Nebuchadnezzar. And all this probably would have worked, except for that was three Hebrew boys that stood for something. They said, nope, we're not going to answer you respectfully in this. We're not going to bow down to your image. We serve God. If you put us in that fire, God can he can lead us out. He can save our life. But if he don't, we still not gonna worship your idol. And they said this, and he put them in the fire. You know the story. They opened the door. The heat killed the people that opened the door. They walked in. He saw three Hebrew boys walking in that fire. And then the fourth one, he said it looked like the Son of God. And when he came out, he said, he made an ordinance. He said, if anybody say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you're going to be killed and your house will be made a waste hill, a dung hill, where they put the sewage and all the junk. And so now everybody's looking at the three Hebrew boys that stood up to the king, and then the king made an ordinance. The enemy uses fear tactics to control us. If he can, and we this generation not going to let God let them, they're not going to let the devil get away with that. I'm not either. I'm going to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. I'm going to do what he say. I confess with my mouth that I'm going to do all that's in God's heart. I don't care what people think. I'm completing him. I don't need approval. I didn't ask for it. I don't need recognition. I'm going to do what God tell me, and he'll back me up. That's the attitude you got to take in every ministry, whether God promotes you to be well known or unknown. Some ministers are unknown and they're still effective. God can still take their voice through all the YouTube, whatever, and minister to people. And he's doing this. And he's saving people by the thousands every hour. This is the greatest awakening in the history of mankind. And the Lord's about to return. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord. And also, I want to finish something. Sometimes I try to be linear. I try to stay on track. I said something yesterday, and I like to clear it up. I started, but I didn't finish. When I talked about prosperity, I was going to give an example of prosperity by the example of positive bondage and negative bondage. Love has positive bondage, while the world has negative bondage. All right. Some people are offended when you speak prosperity. In their mind, they're offended against prosperity preachers because what they believe is people saying that God give you all these riches. And they look at it as if the riches, and you know, the people who get offended, they think that people that are prosperity preachers are more concerned with riches than souls. And also they have a false sense of what it is to be prosperous. But at the same time, and I can tell people who minister things and show you that you can be prosperous, they're just doing their job. And they love God. They sought God first. They put him first, and they prosper. Now watch this. Every anointing that God gives you God's ability to perform and finish the specific task that he gave. Some anointings will cause you to prosper. You will attract everything you need to fulfill the mission of God. It takes millions of dollars to be on TV every day, all day. And all these people that do that, they may buy planes. They have to travel to do the things of God. They have to be on TV every day, all day. I pay for a radio broadcast. I come on two 15-minute broadcasts every Sunday. And I've been doing this since 2006. And every weekend, that 30 minutes worth of radio time cost me $100. And I'm a blue cat. I'm a working man. I fix cars to do this. And God has blessed me with people that help me. A lady helps me every month. And I thank God for her. And most people don't. So I have to, it costs $5,200 every year to do the radio broadcast. And then I do the website broadcast. It's not as expensive. But to a man that's working and buying a house and have a family, that's a lot of money. This is, it costs as much as a car. Now, some people make, that's just, they make that in a week. Well, I can make money in a week like that, but most time I don't do that. So this is the point I'm trying to make. If you're on TV every day, all day, in every city, the anointing on your life, God will call, he will attract what you need. And they have partners. Now, more people have become millionaires. You know, I like to make things simple. The point is this. God, the anointing is designed to attract everything it needs so that he can reach people. Some of the people that he's reaching, it takes somebody with a strong anointing to reach them. And the abundance that people are looking at came because of the love of God. God is rich, but all the finances are here. And the anointing will attract what you need. And see, as long as you're faithful, it will mount up. It don't matter how much you need. And people, if they, it take them so long to make $1,000, $10,000, $1,000,000. You know, and they get offended. Now, positive prosperity is when you seek the Lord and his righteousness with the intent to live by for him and live in his righteousness and bear fruit. That's positive prosperity. Everything you need will come to you. Now, the things will be added. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he said all these things will be added. Whether it's whatever you need personally or whatever you need ministry wise, it will be added. The reason it's added is because it comes after obedience. That's positive prosperity. Negative prosperity is stolen merchandise, swindle accounts, Ponzi schemes. When people do the wrong thing to get money, and they do cunning things to get money, that's negative prosperity. And people who taught faith and taught people God's principles, some people have ears to hear, and they hear it and apply it. And God can match, he can do something with them. They're living in a glory. They're living according to the revelation that God gave. And they use the principles that when they work a job or a business, they work as unto God. And their life has prosperity in it. Their life prospers and God can bless them. And when they get money, they give. More millionaires, billionaires have come through the word of faith message. People, the full gospel businessmen, they caught on, the ones that caught that principle, they applied the principles of God with the intent to spread the gospel. They went about doing good. And God was able to bless them financially. No different than when Peter let Jesus use his boat to minister to people, to be a blessing to people. Jesus said, launch out, cast out your nets for a big haul of fish. And they got it. But Peter didn't listen good. He put one net out there and it began to break. Then his friend, he beckoned for his friends. They came and they filled up two ships with fish. Now, I don't know if that was a month's salary, 2 months, 5 months, or a year's worth of fish that they took in. And now remember, they had to go fishing every day. And sometimes they caught nothing. In fact, that day they caught nothing until he let Jesus borrow his boat. Now, people who receive this as a revelation and they become a partner, they know that the man of God is ministering every day, all day on TV, and they become a partner and they give whatever it is they can. If it's $2 a month, and then you get 20,000 people doing the same thing, that's a lot of money. That can carry a city, another city. See, people, they think, see, if you get to know the Lord, you'll know his principles. It's easy. All the devil got to do is say, well, they just sucking up money. They prosperity preachers. They crooks. He just accused. He spoke evil. And then people get offended against him. And guess what? If you get offended at somebody or and where there's strife, you can't learn from them. And you can get offended over anything and it'll hinder you from learning from them. Now, keep these things in mind. There's positive bondage, there's negative bondage. There's positive prosperity, and there's negative prosperity. People that would do the negative things, it's easier for them to believe that other people are crooks because they chose that path. But a person that lives by the love of God, it's easier for them to know God and know what he stands for. I already gave the closing comments, so consider these things and be blessed. God is with you. Stay in victory. Stay in the love of God. Enjoy victory. And the Lord is returning imminently.